welcome to On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of several Tudor history books. Now today I'm taking you back to the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. For On This Day in Tudor History, the 1st of June 1593, the inquest into the death of playwright, poet and translator Christopher Marlowe took place. The coroner was William Danby, coroner of Queen Elizabeth I's household. 29-year-old Marlowe, writer of such famous works as Tamburlaine, Dr. Faustus and the Jew of Malta, had been fatally stabbed at a house in Deptford Strand, London, by a man named Ingram Frizer or Frizer. But what happened? Well, J. Leslie Hodson, in his 1925 book, The Death of Christopher Marlowe, has a transcript of the coroner's report in the original Latin and in English, and I'll give you a link to read it. The coroner, William Danby, recorded what had happened on that fateful day, based on witness accounts and the injuries suffered by Marlowe and Frizer. When a certain Ingram Frizer, late of London gentleman, and the aforesaid Christopher Morley, and one Nicholas Skears, late of London gentleman, and Robert Poley of London, aforesaid gentleman, on the 30th day of May, in the 35th year above named, at Deptford Strand aforesaid, in the said county of Kent within the verge, about the 10th hour before noon of the same day, met together in a room in the house of a certain Eleanor Bull, widow, and there passed the time together and dined, and after dinner were in quiet sort together there and walked in the garden belonging to the said house until the 6th hour after noon of the same day, and then returned from the said garden to the room aforesaid, and there together and in company supped. And after supper, the said Ingram and Christopher Morley, or Marlowe, were in speech and uttered one to the other diverse malicious words, for the reason that they could not be at one nor agree about the payment of the sum of pence that is the reckoning there. And the said Christopher Morley, then lying upon a bed in the room where they supped, and moved with anger against the said Ingram Frizer, upon the words as aforesaid spoken between them, and the said Ingram then and there sitting in the room aforesaid with his back towards the bed where the said Christopher Morley was then lying, sitting near the bed, that is, near the bed, and with the front part of his body towards the table, and the aforesaid Nicholas Skears and Robert Poley sitting on either side of the said Ingram, in such a manner that the same Ingram Frizer in no wise could take flight, it so befell that the said Christopher Morley on a sudden, and of his malice towards the said Ingram aforethought, then and there maliciously, drew the dagger of the said Ingram, which was at his back, and with the same dagger, the said Christopher Morley then and there maliciously gave the aforesaid Ingram two wounds on his head of the length of 2 inches and of the depth of 1/4 inch, whereupon the said Ingram, in fear of being slain and sitting in the manner aforesaid between the said Nicholas Skears and Robert Poley, so that he could not in any wise get away, in his own defence and for the saving of his life, then and there struggled with the said Christopher Morley to get back from him his dagger aforesaid, in which affray the same Ingram could not get away from the said Christopher Morley, and so it befell in that affray that the said Ingram, in defence of his life, with the dagger aforesaid of the value of 12 pence, gave the said Christopher then and there a mortal wound over his right eye of the depth of 2 inches and of the width of 1 inch, of which mortal wound the aforesaid Christopher Morley then and there instantly died. What a wordy coroner's report there. Lots of aforesaids. I'm sure they could have cut some of those words out. Danby went on to record that on hearing the accounts of those present, the jury who'd viewed Marlowe's body and taken measurements of his fatal wound and seen Frizer's wounds ruled that Frizer had acted in the defence and saving of his own life against the peace of our said lady, the Queen, her now crown and dignity, and noted that he had not tried to flee the scene. So it was ruled that Frizer had killed Marlowe in self-defence after Marlowe attacked him because of an argument over a bill. On the 28th of June, Danby and the jury then went on to pardon Frizer for the breach of the peace caused by the incident. Christopher Marlowe had been involved in fights before. As I said in my previous talk on him, he'd been in a fight using a sword and a dagger in 1589 and a street fight in 1592. So he could be violent, and perhaps this attack isn't out of character. But there's also the possibility that the witnesses got together and made up the story and that Marlowe was actually murdered. I go through the different theories on his death in my previous talk, so I'll share the link in the description. In his book on Marlowe, Frederick Burrus wonders if the jury were prejudiced against the colourful Marlowe, who was said to be an atheist and who'd recently been arrested by order of Elizabeth I's Privy Council, or whether they'd been misled by witnesses giving false statements. We just don't know. Was Marlowe really the aggressor, or was he the intended victim? We'll never know. Please do check out the links in the description to my previous talk and also the two books on Marlowe that I've mentioned here. I'll give you the names of those recommended reading. Also on this day in Tudor history, the 1st of June 1533, Whit Sunday, a pregnant Queen Anne Boleyn, Henry VIII's second wife, was crowned Queen at Westminster Abbey in a ceremony performed by her good friend Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop of Canterbury. And find out more in last year's video, which I'll also give you a link to. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it, and don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.